Great. We are now recording. So welcome, everyone, to the Live Richly call. Today is Tuesday, March 6th, and it's 1 p.m. Eastern time, and I am Leslie Cunningham with Spring Wind Coaching. And you can get more information about these calls and some free resources that I have on my website for money management resources, paying off credit card debt, and also I archive my articles on my website as well. And so you can go to www.springwindcoaching.com. And we have these calls the first three Tuesdays of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern time, as I mentioned. And just to give you a little bit of background about why I have these calls and why we join these calls is because I have a deep passion about helping people live a rich quality life. And if I feel like we're not living this quality of life that we desire, if we have debt that we're dealing with, I have one client in one of the classes that I've been teaching. I have a 9-week financial dating class that I've been teaching, and he described his debt as he had a desire to pay off that monster debt. And I love that term, the monster debt. So if we're dealing with monster debt or just small debt, if we're handling our finances separately and not really communicating with our partner so that there's conflict, and if our money is managing us instead of us managing our money, we are not living this quality, rich life. And that's what I believe that we're all after. In the broader picture, in these calls, is that these calls help us take financial baby steps so that we are able to have financial security, stability, a peace of mind. We end up having the quality relationships with our partners. And because we're able to manage our money more effectively, we're able to create more time for ourselves with the way that we handle our businesses and our careers. And ultimately, that gives us more time for the things that really matter to us. And the last thing that I want to mention is the deeper benefits of participating in these calls is that we get to live our lives in a whole new way. So we have the kind of connecting relationship with our partners that we desire without money tension getting in the way. And we end up getting honest with how we're handling our money so that we can be a positive role model for our children and those people around us. And I know for many parents that is something that they are really adamant about, is that they want to pass on positive, they want to be a positive role model for their kids. And the third thing, as far as the deeper benefits, is that we get to live our life in a way that's meaningful instead of rushing about, never having enough time, feeling that we're always chasing, you know, trying to make more money, trying to pay off the debt. We can slow down and really live this rich quality life. So these calls help us live richly 1 week at a time. And I really feel that you guys offer a ton of value to these calls. Even though I'm presenting a topic, I love to hear from the listeners, and I have received several emails from people that have participated in this call to somebody else share their story and their personal experience. So I really, really encourage you to just speak up and share. So with that in mind, today's call, the topic of today's call is creating a spending plan and everything, telling you everything that you ever needed to know about creating spending plans. So does anyone have any idea or thoughts as far as what they think a spending plan is? I just want to start with all of us on the same page and kind of hear what your guys' thoughts are before I give you much information about if you have any experience with a spending plan or any ideas about what it really is.
Well, I know what it isn't.
What isn't it?
a spending... I don't don't know if this is politically correct or not to say this. A spending plan is not robbing Peter to pay Paul.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I'll give you a good example. And that is that when I did an envelope system for a spending plan, somehow, you know, the envelope for entertainment got a little low. And the envelope for education seemed just a little fat. And I felt like, well, that entertainment would be educational. So I kind of transferred a few of the funds, you know. And that evening, my husband and I had a little discussion about that. And he made a point of saying that once those spending plans are in place, they need to kind of stay there, you know. And, but, you know, I wanted what I wanted. And I think somehow I tried to place the blame there, and it just didn't work like I really wanted it to. And what I've noticed is that spending plans, you know, are only as good as the motivation to keep them, you know, pure.
That is absolutely beautiful. I love that. They're, spending plans are only as good as the motivation is to, what did you say, keep them pure?
Right.
Yeah.
To the point of which you had made them.
Thank you.
You don't go to plan B once you've got your plan A.
I was going to say it's not a budget.
Exactly.
But I'm cheating because that was in the email invitation.
That shows that you read it, Jeff. That's very good.
Okay.
And for those of you that have just joined us on the call, we are talking about what a spending plan is, and I asked the people that were already on the call just to kind of jump in there and share their thoughts about what they thought a spending plan was. So anything else that you wanted to add to that, Jeff?
No. I'm ready to learn what a spending plan is because my initial thought, I thought, oh, good, we're going to do a budget. And I bet some people said, oh, no, we're going to do a budget.
Exactly, and it isn't a budget. So
right.
what is a spending plan? A spending plan is a way of, it's like a puzzle. Think of a spending plan as a puzzle, as a fun puzzle, actually, that you complete, that you figure out at the end of the month before you enter the next month. So say it's the end of February and we're starting to go into March. We're already in March. But at the end of February, you sit down and you decide that you're going to work your spending plan puzzle. And you know how some people love to do crossword puzzles and they, you know, they do them every day, the New York Times. And if you could think of your spending plan in this way, as something more fun, like a puzzle, then I think you'll really start tapping into the benefits of what a spending plan is and enjoying the process. So a spending plan, in essence, is a plan for where your money is going to go the next month. It's a plan for where your money is going to go. When I teach my classes, so many times I'll ask people at the beginning of the classes, what are the challenges and problems that they're having around money? And many people, this is such a common response that comes up, in that they feel like their money is managing them instead of them managing their money. So a spending plan is one of the first key tools that you need to start implementing and using in order to begin managing your money. So I'm going to keep it very kind of brief as far as the definition for now. And let me just share a little bit of as far as my personal story around spending plans and the experiences that I've seen in some of the clients that I've worked with. And then I'm going to tell you five ways that spending plans will help you achieve your financial goals. So I want to show you the plan. I'm going to go into the step-by-step details of how to create a spending plan. And I want you guys to be thinking, as I'm presenting this information, be thinking about how you can really start using this and the challenges that maybe you're going to have so that you can ask me these questions, some questions that come up for you about, can I make this happen? Because my objective with this call today is I want to help you guys create spending plans with your partners. If you're not in a relationship, that's completely fine. I want you to start creating a spending plan for yourself each month. Whether you have separate accounts or combined accounts, you know, if you're in a relationship, some people keep their accounts separate. I want to show you how you can start doing this with your partner. I want to encourage you to start doing it with your partner. And the other two objectives, before I share kind of my story around spending plans, is I want you guys to understand the importance and value of the spending plan and to see this as a tool for reducing conflict in your marriage because and conflict within yourself when it comes to spending money. Many people have challenges about how money gets spent and agreeing on how money gets spent if they're in a relationship. So I want you to see this as a fantastic tool for reducing conflict in your marriage and within yourself for how it, where it's going to go. So as far as the story, my husband and I have, as you guys know, or most of you know, we started having our financial dates, which is just a money convert. We set aside a date for about an hour, three times a month, to talk about money. And we set specific goals and financial goals and work towards achieving those goals. So we started these dates over 2.5 years ago. I'll tell you guys, we did not have a spending plan at all when we started having our financial dates. This has been a tool that, to be honest, we started using about 3 months ago. It's a very new tool for me, and I really like it. And I was completely against using it because we have so many of our bills automated. And when I say automated, I mean that they're either automatically paid through our bank online each month at a certain time, or we've set it up so that any of our savings or retirement accounts that we have, it's automatically drawn out of our checking account each month at a certain time based on when we put money into our account. We chose a withdrawal date when we knew the money was going to come in. A few days after that money comes in, it gets pulled out and automatically put into savings, so we don't have a chance to spend it. So we have been using that tool, automation, and I didn't think we needed a spending plan. But I decided to try it out because I had heard so many financial experts talking about a spending plan. And the reason I like this is because it has helped us sit down and decide in advance where the money goes. So a spending plan allows us to have money left over when at the end of the month, and we decide in advance where that extra money is going to go. So it's very motivating. The benefit of it is that you can keep the extra cash and put it where you want it to go, even if you have automatic systems set up. And what tends to happen if you don't decide in advance where that money's going to go? Somebody, what happens if you don't decide where money's going to go? It's kind of an obvious answer. It disappears. It ends up going, just into oblivion. You never know, what happened to it. So we get to take. Now, as far as sharing a story about some of my clients, I've noticed so many times One person is usually handling the bills. They are paying the bills. They're balancing the checkbook. The other person is not. And what happens is they're both not, what tends to happen is one person is not communicating to the other. And then they wonder why there isn't money available for things like important things, like the mortgage, or to put towards credit card debt, or even to put that extra towards savings. So they can't understand it. But if we don't have a clear sense of where we are, a snapshot in the moment this week, where the money is, we're not motivated to put it in a certain place. We're not motivated to save it because we kind of have this idea of, oh, it'll somehow work out, right? And that's right. While that's a great place to be, like, oh, somehow things just magically work out, it's an even more powerful place when you know where your money is going and you can also have this faith and trust that things are working out because you're not just getting by on a wing and a prayer. You're controlling it. So this is a huge conflict when it comes to couples, and it's a great solution at the spending plan. So five ways that spending plans will help you achieve your financial goals. So the first one is, as I mentioned, it promotes discussion and decision-making. It helps you work as a team if you're in a relationship. And the important part of that is it gets buy-in from your partner. Otherwise, what typically happens is one person in the relationship will say, oh, we need the money to go here this month. And the other person says, no, we need money to go here. And the part, the other, where there's disagreement, there is not buy-in. So you get to sit down at the end of the month and decide together, based on your values and based on your financial goals, where your money's going to go. So there's buy-in. So both of you, think of it as if you were running a race and you hear the buzzer go off and you're running, but all of a sudden you realize you have no idea where the finish line is. A spending plan gives you a clear finish line. It lets both of you know what you're working towards. And both of you have the buy-in and the belief in advance. You've decided this is where it's going. So there's not that conflict about where the money's spent. So it promotes discussion and teamwork and buy-in. The second way that a spending plan helps you achieve your financial goals is that it's a guideline that gives you freedom. Unlike a budget does not give you freedom. Usually the way most people create their budgets is they write them up at the beginning of the year and they've decided this amount of money is going to go towards clothes, this amount's going towards the mortgage, this amount's going towards credit card debt. And what happens with budgets? They stay the same month after month. A budget is rigid. It doesn't, how many of us have experienced a day that is exactly the same as the previous day that we just went through?
Right.
Exactly. And the same with our months and our money. Each month will have a different event or will call for different choices, money choices that we'll need to make. And so with a spending plan, we get to decide for that current month, what's going on this month? Where does our money need to go? Who's got a birthday? Are we going on vacation? Instead of all of a sudden, and that's where their money was going to go, and they went away to visit, even just visiting their kids for 4 or 5 days, and they didn't plan for how that money, that they were going to need extra money for traveling and for food, and this ended up creating conflict because they didn't decide in advance. So a spending plan is a guideline that gives you freedom. The third point that I want to make is that it is absolutely fantastic for self-employed professionals especially, because the money ebbs and flows. It's not always like the money's coming in the same time each month, and we always need to invest money back into our businesses. And what happens when we're in a relationship with a partner who wants to have the money go somewhere else instead of into the business? That partner can sometimes get afraid that there's not going to be enough money available. But if you sit down at the end of the month in advance of the next month, you can say, hey, you know what? I have this coming up in my business. I'm going to need an extra $200 for this. And you get to see if it'll work out. So you get to work that puzzle. And then your partner can see, oh, hey, that's cool. We can still have money for the kids. We can still pay, you know, put money towards the credit card debt or whatever. They can see how the whole picture fits together. So it's especially important for self-employed professionals. And for those that aren't in a relationship and are self-employed, it's still very essential because we need to understand what's happening in our businesses and what we need to take care of in our personal life. So real quickly, the last two are basically it lets you know where you stand. And it essentially a spending plan lets you be in the driver's seat. You decide where your cash is going to you know in advance where it's coming from, and you decide in advance where it's going to. Think of this as you get to direct the traffic. You're kind of like a conductor. You're deciding when the orchestra is going to get quiet, or you're like, you know, directing traffic. You're deciding when, you know, you need to pay this bill and where the other money's coming from. The last point is that you know, this becomes a tool, as I mentioned in the objectives that I shared with you today, for reducing conflict. So it helps you achieve your financial goals because it reduces conflict in your marriage, and you can work better together as a team. So does anyone have any questions about what I've covered so far? Did that bring up any thoughts for you?
Pretty straightforward. Sounds
okay.
Great.
Great. All right, so let's jump into how to create a spending plan. For starters, I hope most of you have some paper and a pen in front of you, because we get to go to drawing 101 here. So if you don't, go ahead and grab that, because I think this will really help to have more of a visual. And those of you that want to respond to this, how many of you have joint checking accounts when it comes to your personal money, or how many of you have separate accounts, like you pay certain bills and then your wife or husband pays certain bills? Just kind of want to get a sense. It'll help me describe the spending plan a little better.
I have my all my accounts together with my wife.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I found it challenging to make that happen, where I could actually, like, see her credit cards online and things like that. It's very funny. But anyway, so we're all together there, but then, of course, I have a business account for my business stuff, but it's all linked, so I can see it all, and it's with the same bank.
Okay, great. That's perfect.
Hi, Leslie. This is Lois, and we have a joint account.
Oh, hi, Lois. I'm so glad you could join.
Thanks.
So you guys just have a single joint account then, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And was that you, Christelle? Were you going to add something?
Well, we have everything together except my business account, and that's in a totally different bank. Mike really doesn't have access to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's how ours is.
Okay. And do you look up your information online, Christelle, for your joint
account? No, I really don't.
Okay. I would encourage you guys, if you're not already doing this, to set it up so that you can view your information online. It's very safe and secure these days. And If you have a business account or separate accounts, I would encourage you to set those up at the same bank. It just makes it so much easier. And you can still, you know, depending upon where you're at in your relationship, you can still set it up so that you are the only one that views that information. If you want to keep your business account in your name, you know, in your business name, which I think is you need to do that. Even though you have it at the same bank, it will not come up on when your partner views it because your partner's name has to be on your checking account and an ID number. So it just makes it easier. I'm all for making finances easier. So just, you know, think about that. And everybody has different situations, but I would encourage you to do that so you don't have to go to different accounts and different banks. All right, so this is great. So some people, most people have a joint account and then the business account is separate, which is exactly how you want it. All right, so let me give you a broad understanding of what the spending plan is. In general, write this down on your piece of paper. You're going to want, well, somebody tell me, what's the obvious thing that you think should be included in a spending plan?
A list of all of your expenses and when they're due.
Exactly. Perfect. You want, number one is to have a list of your expenses. And some of you might not have a complete understanding of even what those expenses are. That's okay for now. Just know that this is what you want to work towards. And you can have these conversations with your partner to get a better understanding of what those are. A list of your expenses, and Jeff added a great thing, which I really like, is when those expenses are due. You don't have to put a due date for every expense. Maybe it's for the ones that are bigger bills that come up. Maybe you have your credit card automated so that $200 comes out each month, goes direct into paying off your credit card debt. You want to know when that happens. So on this list, you're going to have your expenses and when some of those major expenses are due. The second thing that you're going to want is you're going to want to list your income. So the income actually gets listed on, you're going to have your, this is the way I do it. You guys will find your own system that works best for you, but I'll just explain it to you the way that I do it so at least you have a starting point. I list the expenses on the left-hand side of an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. And I have written these out. And you can also type them up in Excel or in a Word program, but you don't need to do that for now. The important thing is to just be able to start doing this. So list your expenses on the left-hand side of a sheet of paper. And then on the right-hand side, the top right-hand corner, list the income. So you'll just put in, you know, put income on the right-hand side and then put, you know, your income and your husband or wife's income. And then you'll list approximately what that is. The third essential piece that you'll need on here is underneath the end, you're going to want a category that says difference or, you know, what's left over. It, you know, a lot of people call these retained earnings in financial jargon. And if you have a negative amount, that means that your expenses are too high. So you decide that you're either going to lower your expenses or increase your income if you have the ability to do that. But it's very important. Expenses, left-hand side, right-hand side income, and then below that, you know, maybe halfway down your sheet of paper, the difference or what's left over. Okay, so that's the very broad categories of what you want to do. So just to make the expense column a little more understandable, it's helpful to break your expenses into different categories. We have expenses that are fixed, and that means these are expenses that stay the same month after month. throw some things out there as far as what would be considered a fixed expense that stays the same month after month.
Rent or mortgage?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Office rent.
Yep.
Groceries are fairly consistent, at least in my family. But they may go up or down. They're definitely not fixed.
Yes, exactly. So groceries wouldn't actually be considered a fixed expense, but they're consistent is what you're saying as far as what you tend to spend on them.
Every month.
Yeah, every month. So, yeah, so definitely the rent, mortgage, office rent. Now, here's some things that I personally put into a fixed expense column, but you may not want to put it into a fixed expense column. I consider it a fixed expense because I know I'm not going to change how that money is spent. So let me just give you some examples. The important thing is you want to decide what makes sense for you and your partner, okay? So here's what I do. I have things like mortgage, the home phone, because it's very essential to my business. I'm not going to change the calls that I make on that. Internet is the same each month. Car insurance is the same. Although, if you're really tight, you know, you might want to look at your car insurance and see how you can reduce the amount that you pay in car insurance by looking at the type of coverage that you're choosing. Health insurance, I put that. And when I had credit card debt, I put that amount in that column because I had it automated and I was paying a certain amount each month. So those are some examples of fixed expenses. You'll see your own patterns. The important thing about a fixed expense is this is something that you know that you're not going to really change. You've decided that that works for both of you as a couple and you're going to keep it that way. The second, and so when I say, you know, all these go on the left-hand side of your paper, and I just kind of lump them together. I have the fixed expenses at the top. Then I move down, and I move into, it's called a variable expense. So expenses that change from month to month, and here's the big key here. They tend to be affected by our money behaviors, our choices, and our values as a couple and as individuals. Now, why is it important, would you think, to divide up a fixed expense from a variable expense when you're creating a spending plan? Why the heck do we care? Why isn't an expense, a rose is a rose, an expense is an expense, it doesn't matter. Why do we want to categorize it this way?
Well, some you're going to be able to affect.
Yeah.
You may decide, let's say, as my example for groceries, we may decide, hey, we shouldn't go to the gourmet market that's convenient and right down the block, but instead we might want to go to the less expensive market that we just have to drive a little further and realize that we can save $100 a month by doing that.
Perfect, 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 yeah. So with a variable expense, an expense that changes, we get to make a choice about it. And like Jeff said, you know, maybe instead of driving to, go and buy something, you know, maybe we want to spend it in groceries and save money. You know, maybe it's clothes that is a variable expense. And you realize, oh, gosh, I'm tight on cash this month. You know what? I can let go of spending money on clothes this month. So let me try and apply this to your marriage and value conflict that comes up in a marriage. You know, maybe one partner wants to spend money on, like, getting a new piece of furniture, and the other partner wants money to reinvest into their business. This is where you get to decide, hey, is there some way that we can do both? You know, so you get to try and balance your values and your desires in this kind of variable expense category. This is the first place you're going to go when your puzzle doesn't work out. The third piece, so we have the fixed expenses, variable expenses. The third piece that's really important is to lump all your savings together. So money that goes towards savings. What are some things, some examples of savings? Things that we might be saving money for?
Travel.
Vacation.
Travel, vacation, great.
Investments.
Investments, perfect.
Yeah.
Emergency savings. So if you haven't built up an emergency cushion, they financial experts recommend 3 to 6 months of necessary expenses in a savings account, and that would go into a money market account. So when I say necessary expenses, I mean not money spent on clothes. This is like, you know, if something happened and you or your partner weren't able to work, you want to know you're going to cut back on your dining out. You're not going to be funding your vacation fund. You just want to be able to get by. So you want to look at this and figure out what's 3 to 6 months of necessary expenses and put that into an emergency savings account. And I encourage people to start with $25 a month and slowly increase it by $10 or something. So things like emergency savings, retirement, a dream account for that you're saving for, maybe it's something that you want to do in your business, that would be considered a savings. And the fourth and last category as far as expenses is you want to, and this is so important, to add a certain amount of money for extra unanticipated expenses. Some people recommend, you know, looking at 10% of your income or 20% and just putting that on there as extra money that's available, or just come up with a dollar amount. The reason you want to do this is so that this gives you some wiggle room so that you don't feel like the spending plan is impossible. You know, you want to make sure that it works out. And initially, if you're strapped for cash, it's okay. You know, just be okay with the fact that your spending plan might need to be a little more rigid. If you're really committed to paying off credit card debt or boosting your retirement, maybe you realize, oh, my gosh, we're getting older and we haven't saved enough, you might make a conscious decision to make your spending plan tighter as far as not having extra money towards other things. But that's your own choice. You can also choose to give yourself a little more freedom and breathing room. So at the end of this column, on the left-hand side, you're going to total your expenses. So just total expenses, whatever that number is. And for some of you on the call, you might be thinking, oh, my gosh, this is a lot that I'm going to have to – you mean I have to write this up each month? Once you figure it out, you just use it as a template, and you change your expenses each month. You decide, hey, you know what, one of the kids has a birthday, we want to spend extra money, or – hey, you know what, I would like to go out to eat more this month. Let's have a really nice meal. And I want to put extra money towards my credit card debt. Can we do that? So wherever you guys have differences in your relationship and in conflict with where money's going to be spent, this looking at the spending plan will help figure out how you guys can both, how you can meet both of those values that you hold as individuals in your relationship. So you'll total the expenses, and then on the right-hand side, like I mentioned, you're going to put the total income, and for those of you that have businesses, you might want to just put business expenses on there. What, instead of itemizing your business expenses, you might just want to say, this amount is my business expense, and put that on your spending plan. Then you have the income totaled on the right-hand side. Underneath that, you have the difference. And this is a very key place. You get to subtract your income from your expenses. And whatever money is left over, if there's money left over, you get to decide in advance where you want that money to be spent. If there isn't money left over, you get to go back and rework the puzzle and see how it's going to, you know, try and lower your expenses, starting with your expenses that vary from month to month.
Leslie, I have a question about taxes.
Okay, great.
Whenever I'm figuring out my monthly thing,
mm-hmm.
I will always put in minus what the amount would be 25% for taxes,
mm-hmm.
basically,
mm-hmm.
somewhere between 20 and 25%.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do with that amount? Just keep it riding along with that?
I would,
because in the end, that's kind of where it is, you know.
Uh-huh. I would include that as your business expenses. Just,
okay.
You know, you can do a spending plan for your business as well. Kind of what I'm sharing with you guys right now is how do you create a spending plan with your partner? So if you're going to, I would total up all your monthly business expenses, and for the family spending plan, you can just, you know, put that number on there as a lump sum, and, you know, taxes will be a part of that, office rent will be a part of that, so that you're not looking at all your itemized business expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
lump it all together, or mm-hmm. you can go ahead and itemize it out on your family spending plan if it makes you feel better. I like to do that sometimes. I don't always do that, but I always create my own individual spending plan too.
Yeah.
So just decide. If you feel good seeing the overall big picture, then itemize that and put taxes as a line number underneath business expenses.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions about this, what we've covered so far? Okay. So now we have, you know, we all understand how to write this great spending plan. Now, how the heck do we actually implement it and still think of a spending plan as our friend? And what happens when, you know, reality occurs and all of a sudden we decide that we want to go out to eat? You know, we've been working hard and we deserve some time with our partner. And, oh, my gosh, we didn't put enough money in the category of dining out. What do we do? What are you guys thinking? You know, does that kind of make you, how does that make you feel? Because I guarantee unanticipated expenses are going to occur. I coach clients about this all the time, and it occurs. So what are some things that you might do?
Not go out to eat.
Not go out to eat, that's one option. Absolutely. The other thing, so you can choose not to do.
Feed my children less.
What'd you say?
Feed my children less. They don't need that much. They're young.
PB&J, right?
Yeah, exactly. Switch. No more hamburgers.
What?
Only starches.
So either you're going to want to do something or your partner is going to want to do something. And you're going to look at this spending plan and you're going to say, wait a minute, it's not on there. So you get a choice. You can choose to go ahead and do that. You know, maybe it's going out to eat, but you get to rework this spending plan. And like Christelle was saying in her example about saving money in envelopes so that she knew what she was spending, you got to be honest about your behaviors. If you're constantly overspending in one area, you get to decide if you want to continue to overspend, and then you change your spending plan the next month. Hey, you know what? I realize that I can still put enough money towards my retirement or towards paying off my credit card debt, and I can have more money for entertainment or going out to eat. A spending plan is not static, unlike a budget, can be very static. So you get to make a choice. But the idea here is that you get to weigh your choices. Would I rather get, what's my value here? What's my financial goals? So you want to weigh your choice in the moment with your financial goal. And I really encourage couples to sit down together and identify their top five financial goals, because in the moment, you're going to, when you have this desire to go over or go out to eat, you need to decide, is that what I want to do, or do I want to pay off this credit card debt, or do I want to invest money back into my business? If you decide it's worth it, then change your spending plan for the next month and give yourself more money in that area. It's a breathable, organic system. If you're not able to reach your financial goals, and maybe you have a lot of debt that you want to pay off, then you need to be honest about how your behaviors might be getting in the way. And the spending plan is going to show you what's happening to prevent where your money's going, how it's going in different directions other than what you had originally planned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the true value, I think I can help kind of tie things together a little bit by explaining to you, everyone, the true value of the spending plan. Really, we don't want to forget, a spending plan is not to micromanage our lives and to make us miserable. A spending plan is so that we can decide, we can make these choices in the moment. So how does this work with a partner? When you create your spending plan, you don't just create it and then put it in the file and say, oh, well, I did that, I'm so good. You know, what's going to happen if you don't look at your spending plan throughout the month? You're not going to spend money in the way that you said that you would. So here's the true value of a spending plan and how you want to make this tool work for you. It's like, you know, if somebody gave you some medicine or herbs or, you know, vitamins to help you get better, and well, let's say somebody didn't give them to you. You went to the store and bought them, and you took them home, and you just left them there on the shelf. You did a great thing, right? But then you just leave it there. Is that going to help you at all? No, the answer is obvious. It's no. Same with a spending plan. You can't just write it and put it on the shelf. You have to take it and use it. So the way that we take and use a spending plan is that we pull it out each week, once a week, or however often you pay the bills, and maybe sit down with your partner. I really encourage people to pay bills together. if you've divvied it up, that really, really works for you. You know, I think it's even if your system works for you, I encourage partners to pay bills together for a few months so that the other is aware of what's going on. But you take the spending plan out when you pay your bills and you mark off what has been paid. So let's say you look at this once a week, ideally. Maybe you pay your bills on Friday, or I encourage couples to have a financial date together. And at the end of this date, you can, before you end your date, you can look at, oh, how did our money get spent? All right, the mortgage, what's gone through? You want to mark off bills that have gone through, that have passed through your checking account. You see the canceled check. You see that it's already been deducted. You're going to mark that out. And then you're going to circle the bills that still need to be paid. And you're going to look at the amount of money that's coming in and the amount of money that's there, and then you're going to subtract the outstanding bills. And you're going to see, oh, my gosh, wait a minute, we don't have enough money. We need to change something. So the true value in the spending plan is that it allows you to change horses in midstream. It allows, and what I mean by that is it allows you to change your behaviors and make different choices, even if you messed up, because we're not perfect. We're not always going to spend money exactly how we said that we wanted to, but we get to decide again that next week when we pay the bills together, oh, this is where we really want the money to go. And the real benefit is that you want to make sure that it's going towards those financial goals, all right? So if it's increasing your retirement, paying off that credit card debt, having enough money for the vacation, think about what your priorities are for that month and make sure that you meet your goal, your spending plan goal for that particular priority. if you really wanted to pay off, you know, $400 towards your credit card debt or, you know, increase your emergency fund, make sure you spend the money that month the way that you said you would for that and change your spending in the other areas. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah,
well, what,
okay.
What do you do with the extra, like let's say you have more income than you thought
mm-hmm.
you were going to?
Great question, Jeff. So I would encourage you to think about what are your top five financial goals that you and your wife have.
Mm-hmm.
And if your goal is to put more money into your business, that's where the extra money goes. You decide
okay.
in advance that it's going to go towards your top five financial goals or top three, or maybe you've identified one. For many couples, it's paying off the debt or, you know, but that's
well, I know in our case,
it,
it's a matter of you know, right now it's just meeting expenses month by month. So I would imagine if I had a good month, I would put it in some sort of a short-term savings for next month because we don't know what next month will bring, you know.
Oh, yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. That's so for people that whose income fluctuates a lot, it's great to have I call it a revolving fund. So this is just a place, it may be probably just a savings account at your bank, a different account, not your checking account. And you, when you have extra cash, extra money left over, oh, my gosh, isn't this great? We have $200. Then you put it into your revolving fund, and this is a fund that you just use it to meet your expenses, right? It's not like an actual savings.
Right.
Maybe you realize at the end of the year it's nice to have a $2,000 cushion so that you can pull from for something. Maybe you have an irregular expense that comes up, like going to the dentist once a year or just that's perfect for things like that. Yeah, and that's great because you want to take care of that, prioritize that so that you're that all of a sudden you don't have to depend upon credit card debt, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
putting something on a credit card. So decide what your
too
financial
late, but
goals
yeah.
are. What's that?
Too
what'd
late,
you say?
But yeah.
Too late.
but yeah, I get what you're trying to say here.
Right.
I need
and
to be in the remedial class.
And it doesn't, you know, those are just goals that we've worked towards. Many people,
sure.
there's nothing wrong with it. You know, we're at where we're at, and that's where we have to start. Just, let's see, we're kind of at the top of the hour here, so let me just finish up with saying this spending plan, be gentle with yourself. It's a new habit, okay? It's going to take a while, and you might feel a little resistance. But what I really encourage you to do is sit down with your partner and write one up together. And maybe you're going to feel like you're just guessing about your expenses initially. The spending plans work great with tracking your income, you know, knowing where your money's gone. But for now, it's good just to look at your past bank statements, your check register, see where you've spent money. Or you can even just take a stab in the dark and take a guess and say, hey, how do we want to spend our money? We know we have this much money coming in. Ideally, where do we want this money to go? But the goal is to be making decisions together as a couple. Also know that there are people that don't use spending plans. It's a tool. It's not an essential have to, but I think it's perfect for people that have conflict with where the money's going and for people that constantly feel like their money is managing them instead of them managing their money. It's a great tool for automating your bills. It, you know, you want to use it hand in hand with setting up things that are automated.
Yep, I am.
Yeah.
So
that's all that I have. Could one person maybe just share what was helpful for them, what they got from this?
Well, Leslie, I just appreciate the fact that you're kind of, something I got from it was the month-to-month thing, because we've set a budget out for years, and we do it like at the beginning of the year, but it tends to just get sidelined. You know, we
mm-hmm.
don't pay attention to it because, but I like the month-to-month idea, sitting down and actually having the date nights and discussing it. So I guess
fantastic.
That's what I most appreciate.
Oh, good. Thank you. I'm so glad to hear that. And what happens, just, you know, if something's set in stone, we're not going to stick to it because we can't stick to it. It's not organic. It doesn't change with our lives. And that's why a spending plan works. It's flexible. So we get to choose differently the next month, and that makes us more apt to stick to it. So thank you, everyone, for sharing and for showing up and asking questions. And we will meet again next week. We have these, so the next two Tuesdays, and we have the Live Richly calls the first three Tuesdays of each month. So take care. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Leslie.
You bet. Have a good day.
Bye.
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 Bye.